This is John Gramstrand, and I'm a certified energy specialist for CHS Ag Services in Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan. We'll also hear reports from Sierra Doctor and Whitney Pittman. Well, news broke of the Supreme Court ruling in favor of Proposition 12 yesterday. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more.
On a ruling of 5-4, the Supreme Court delivered a significant blow to not only the U.S. hog industry, but the U.S. agriculture sector. North Dakota Farm Bureau President Darrell Lee says Proposition 12 affects more than California's hog and poultry producers.
So, I mean, if you're producing products that may end up being sent to California for consumption, they're going to have to meet those standards. They're going to have to meet standards that are going to increase the cost of production. They're going to have to meet standards that have no science behind them. It's all animal rights, emotional derivatives is what was used here, and it's sad when we go down this road in the free country that we live in of the United States. You know, American Farm Bureau, who we're affiliated with, was part of this, National Pork Producers. Those folks are, you know, obviously probably still digesting the decision themselves here. And where we go, who knows?
We said it should have been an easy decision for the Supreme Court.
Now, the one bright spot is Justice Kavanaugh, in his dissent, talked about, you know, he still believes that future litigation could prevail, not saying that it would or not. But he brought up some of the import-export law and things of that nature also, that things like this could possibly infringe upon. So, it's sad to see that it was a 5-4 decision. I thought that they would protect the Constitution, and this should have been an easy one for them, and they fumbled the ball, in my opinion.
Reporting agriculture's business. I'm Sierra Doctor on the Red River Farm Network.
Reaction continues to come in. In a statement, Senate Ag Committee Ranking Member John Bozeman said the court's decision to uphold California's extremely misguided Proposition 12 is bad news for all Americans. It means that voters in one state can determine regulations for any industry outside its borders, and in turn raise prices on products for the rest of the nation. California has decided Americans need to pay more to add animal protein products to their plate while threatening the livelihood of family farms across the country. The Minnesota legislative session continues to move quickly as it works to meet deadlines. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Whitney Pittman has more.
The Minnesota House approved the Agriculture Conference Committee report yesterday in a vote of 85-44. House Ag Committee Chair Samantha Vang addressed the House, highlighting soil health funding and the creation of the Grain Indemnity Fund.
We look at how to protect pollinators and protect soil health. The state makes strong investments in the Soil Health Financial Assistance Program that will enable farmers to become better stewards of the land and invest in equipment and cover crops that will benefit the farmer economically and sustainably. We heard time and time again from farmers who have been financially devastated by elevator collapses. After years of discussion and continued hardship experienced by farm families year over year, this will finally provide meaningful protection to producers who sell grain in Minnesota.
The Minnesota Department of Ag will continue to work on pesticide safety under the current EPA guidance.
PFAS was also a hot button issue. These forever chemicals accumulate over time, and for our public health, we must continue to protect human health. Farmers utilize many of these chemicals, and this would allow MDA to work on pesticide safety and regulation under their authority given by the EPA.
The Omnibus Ag Bill was also passed by the Senate 49-16. Governor Walz is expected to sign the bill. Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Whitney Pittman on the Red River Farm Network.
Minnesota Farmers Union has been advocating for lower health care costs in an option for public buy-in. Farmers Union Government Relations Director Stu Laurie says they are waiting on final conference committee reports.
We're still waiting for the final report on the health care budget, and we are very committed to ensuring that we finally establish a buy-in, a public option to Minnesota Care that will allow farmers and others another option to buy into high-quality coverage that's provided to low-income Minnesotans in our state. So we're very excited about that. It'll be a long path in terms of implementation.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The four leaders of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees issued a joint statement following their White House meeting with President Biden and Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack. The four stressed the importance of getting a farm bill done this year, stating the farm bill is a jobs bill, it's a safety net for farmers and its consumers, and it's an investment in rural communities and the health of the American people. The issue of the debt ceiling did not come up. House Agriculture Committee passed the Beagle Brigade Act of 2023. National Cattlemen's Beef Association Chief Veterinarian Dr. Kathy Simmons explains that bill.
This action is an important win for American agriculture, Hunter. The Beagle Brigade Act of 2023 will provide authorization for the National Detector Dog Training Center in Georgia to create a dog workforce trained to detect fruits, vegetables, and meats that could pose a threat to U.S. agriculture.
Simmons says the bill would protect the U.S. against foreign diseases.
The Beagle Brigade is an amazing surveillance and preparedness tool. These beagles are trained to detect prohibited agricultural products that could serve as sources for foreign animal and plant diseases. The beagles are an important component of our preparedness against the entry of foreign agricultural disease agents into the United States.
That bill now goes on to the House for consideration. The USDA will release its May World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimate, or WASDE, report at 11 o'clock this morning. Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzulo says there is growing focus on the demand numbers.
I think the market is becoming more and more nervous about the demand numbers on the WASDE report. And so instead of thinking about and concentrating on the 23-24 yield and acreage base and overall ending stocks, I think we've kind of swung the pendulum back to what's that demand going to look like when it comes to 22-23, and then how does that carry over into 23-24?
And Zuzulo says unless there is a South American production surprise, demand will be the major market mover.
All of a sudden we see a big drop in the supplies of some of our biggest competitors. I don't look for much of that. In Brazil, it's too early on the second crop corn, although I do think a drought watch is needed to in the safrinha corn crop right now because both Mato Grosso and Paraná are very dry. Argentina, however, we could see some more cuts. In fact, USDA is probably about 5 million tons higher in corn production than the Rosario Grains Exchange when they came out just yesterday with their updates. I would say probably the biggest thing for me and my clients is the wheat yield. All wheat yield should drop pretty substantially.
Martinson Agris Management President Randy Martinson will be focusing on the wheat production numbers.
You know, I think the big one to look at, you know, one that I think could be surprising is looking at the wheat number for the production side. I think the harvested acres of the abandonment is going to be higher in Texas and Colorado and Oklahoma and Kansas, and I think that will make the wheat production number a little bit lower than anticipated. So I think that's the big one to watch for. Of course, the corn we already know is going to be a little bit negative. The other part is looking at where they're going to put the demand side. So I think, you know, the market is already expecting some pretty bearish numbers for new crop new crop corn and soybeans. But I think the wheat one could surprise us.
Agriculture credit conditions remain strong with farm real estate values continuing to increase, but growth has softened according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Kansas City. In its survey of 10th District bankers, the Fed says while improvement in farm finances and credit conditions steadies, some lenders expect a slight softening in the months ahead. The outlook for the farm economy remains strong with favorable commodity prices and financial performance and liquidity at banks remaining solid. U.S. Class 1 railroads originated 21,000 grain carloads during the week ending April 29th, according to USDA's latest weekly grain transportation report. That is down 4% from the previous week, 1% less than the same week last year, 12% less than the three-year average. The average May shuttle rail car, secondary rail car bid and offers were $286 below tariff for the week ending May 4th, $18 more than the previous week. It's $3,293 lower than last year. And the barge grain movement, a total of 463,000 tons, 22% less than the previous week, reflecting the limited traffic on the upper Mississippi River due to high water. This is the Red River Farm Network. Good morning. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. In NDSU Extension's weekly crop and pest report, agronomist Hans Condell outlined potential issues with delayed planting in pulse crops, including field peas and canola. Later planting dates could mean less yield.
The later we plant, the more likely it is that we are hitting some higher temperatures during the flowering period. So based on some of the data that I've been looking at, it shows that when we delay planting, we will have a lower yield potential. It doesn't mean that we can't get good yields, but whenever we delay planting for the small or the field pea or the canola, we see that there is likely going to be a lower yield potential. Therefore, it is very important that as soon as the field conditions are ready, I would advise that we try to put the field peas and canola in as soon as possible.
And Condell says there's no reason to make changes to planting plans just yet.
Making changes right now is still a little bit premature. I do know that some people are watching the calendar and saying, well, we are approaching, you know, the middle of May, the chances for good wheat crops or other crops may reduce. However, we do not know what the rest of the season is going to bring. We need to get a crop diversity in the field, so at this time it is too early to already start making big plans for change. In the back of the mind, yeah, if we have fields that are very wet now and you can't get in for the next 2 weeks, maybe start thinking about some adjustments, but just to give up right now is too early.
Nutrien CEO based in Canada, Mayo Schmidt, says the company may consider further slowing its expansion of potash capacity after low prices and low sales volumes. Potash prices have been volatile since the start of the Russian-Ukrainian war, and USDA is investing $17 million into five wetland reserve enhancement partnership projects to return critical wetland functions to agricultural landscapes. Conservation partners and ag producers will work with NRCS to mitigate climate change while prioritizing assistance to underserved communities. Checking markets before we leave you this morning, we're seeing July wheat Minneapolis 13 cents higher, 849 and three quarters. September's 14 higher at 854. Chicago July wheat 8.5 higher at 635 and three quarters. In Kansas City July wheat 16 and a quarter higher, 857 and three quarters. July corn, penny and a quarter higher at 583 and a half. December corn up a half at 514 and a quarter. July soybeans are 8 3/4 cents higher at 1414 and a quarter. November 2 1/4 higher at 1250 and a quarter. And in the overnight trade, July canola trading $2.70 a metric ton higher, $7.2680 Canadian. On the farm calendar, again, we've got the supply-demand report and the WASDE report out at 11 o'clock this morning. Thanks for joining us. This is the Red River Farm Network.